I'm preaching this morning because Kevin planned to be in Searcy, Arkansas, to attend the Harding Lectureship and to enjoy a time with his daughter, who is now a student there. But the extended COVID problems that have plagued him for so long have kept him away from his opportunities. And so I'm filling in for him, and we pray that he will recover his health. We pray for a number in our congregation who've had surgeries or because of infirmities are not enjoying life to the fullest. We're thankful for our own health. And so as we go through the week, and as we offer our prayers from time to time, may we remember all in our congregation, not as well as we are, maybe not able to be out. I hope the study this morning will touch you in some way that will be helpful. And so I want to begin the study this morning from the second chapter of John. And I hope that you'll be able to have a Bible, either your own or one of those from the pews, and that you'll be able to follow along the readings, because there'll be several. But I'd like for you to come with me to John chapter 2 and the last three verses of that chapter, verse 23, 24, and 25, because they have a bearing on the man that we're going to study this morning, a man that struggled. He struggled not with unbelief, but he struggled with his belief. And I think there are times when we struggle with our belief, when we compare what we believe with what we see around with. Perhaps we can shake hands with the man that will be the subject of our study this morning. But begin with me from reading these three verses, and there are two points that we'd like to draw out of them to apply to the rest of our study. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, and that's Jesus, during the feast, many believed in his name, observing his signs which he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, was not entrusting himself to them, for he knew all men. Verse 25, because he did not need anyone to testify concerning man, for he himself knew what was in man. Two points. Number one, there was a large group of people who believed because they'd seen the signs. But for some reason, Jesus was not trusting himself to them. The answer comes twice in the reading. Jesus understood the frailty of man's belief. Sometimes it can be strong, sometimes it can be weak. Sometimes it can be there when we need it, and sometimes we have lost it. And so study with me a man who struggled with his own belief, what he should do with it, what it would mean to him. And so we come to the very next chapter, and to a man that is familiar to many of you, Nicodemus. Nicodemus is in chapter 3. And I want you to read with me the first 10 verses. This is a long reading to keep track of. But what I want you to observe is, I want you to observe Nicodemus as he responds to Jesus. And so we're going to read the first 10 verses. Jesus will have the last word. Beginning in chapter 3 and verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Now, I want to pause just a moment to find out a very interesting thing about the word know. The Greeks had two major words for know. One was simply that you learn certain things. But the word that is used here is absolute. There is no doubt in Nicodemus' mind that this man came from God, that this man has God with him. He absolutely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, believes that. Now, Jesus responds, verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." That which is born of flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit, is spirit. Do not be amazed at this, that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and you don't understand these things?" Come back with me now to the beginning. And the first sign that we have that Nicodemus is having a struggle with his belief is in verse 1 and 2. Number one, he is a man of the Pharisees, a ruler of the Jews. That means he's a member of the 70 members of the Sanhedrin, the ruling class of the children of Israel. The second thing that we note is that he came by night. Now ask yourself why he would come by night. And you see that while it says that he knows absolutely beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was sent from God and that God is with him, and yet he comes by night. It's not that he doesn't believe. He believes. But what is he to do with his belief? He can't bring it out in the open. After all, he's a Pharisee. He's a member of the Sanhedrin. He's a ruler of the Jews. What would the rest of the Sanhedrin think if they saw him talking to Jesus? And then we go on to Jesus. And it's as if Jesus is saying to him, "Nicodemus, I praise you for your belief, but there's a next step. You need to do something with your belief." And Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And now again, we're going to see the struggle that Nicodemus has. Have you ever known something deep down in your heart, but you didn't want to admit it? You didn't want to fess up. And so you might come with some kind of foolish response to kind of get off the track. And that's exactly what Nicodemus did. In verse 4, Nicodemus knew very well the foolishness of his explanation. He knew that he was just putting off what Jesus had told him. Now remember that in chapter 2, and the last two verses, Jesus knew what was in the heart of man. And he looked in Nicodemus's heart, and what he saw there was a struggle with his belief. And so Jesus will help him to try and understand himself and what he has just said to him. He repeats it in verse 5. "Truly, truly, I say unto you, one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Nicodemus would understand the water because John the Baptist had been teaching baptism. It was a watery washing that had even been in the Old Testament. The Spirit, Jesus then will explain. He will say in verse 8, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it's going. So everyone who is born of the Spirit." In other words, Jesus says, it's a mystery. It's a mystery. How do you know that the wind blows? You feel it. You may even hear it. You know that. Why? Why does it go one way and then another way? It's a mystery. And then Jesus says, so it is like the man that is born again. It's a mystery. Look at your own life. If you're a Christian, why? Why are you? Why does your belief take you to the decisions that you and I make? It's a mystery. It's a mystery. But Nicodemus has a response to that. And in verse 9 says, the oldest excuse in the book, I don't understand. I don't understand. Jesus is finished with this. And in verse 9, I want you to try and imagine the inflection in his voice as Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and you don't understand this? You understand what he's saying? You ought to. You ought to. It's not because Nicodemus doesn't believe. It's that he doesn't want to face up to where that belief will take him. Because after all, as we're going to see in the next passage, he's struggling within. He's struggling within. We're not done with Nicodemus. About 6 months later, you come to John chapter 7. And Nicodemus will have a very small part here, but he will have a part. John chapter 7 is an amazing chapter. From the very beginning of the chapter to the very end of the chapter, there is absolute and total confusion in Jerusalem. The chapter will begin with his brothers who don't even believe in him. He will go up to Jerusalem, and there will be all kinds of doubts and wonders and beliefs. And we're just going to read a little part so that you'll get an idea of what's going on around Nicodemus. And it's not pleasant. It's not pleasant. So read with me from John chapter 7. We're going to begin in verse 37 and read to the end of the chapter. Nicodemus will have a very small part down in the bottom of the reading at about verse 50. It won't be big, but you will see that he's still struggling with his belief. This is what's happening in Jerusalem. Verse 37. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of water. By this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. The Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Some of the people, therefore, when they heard these words, were saying, this certainly is the prophet. Others were saying, this is the Christ. Still others were saying, surely the Christ is not going to come from Galilee, is it? Has not the scripture said, the Christ comes from the descendants of David, from Bethlehem, the village where David was? So the division occurred in the crowd because of him. Some of them wanted to seize him, but no one laid hands on him. Officers that had been sent to arrest him now come into the picture. The officers then came to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said to them, why did you not bring him? And the officers answered, never did a man speak the way this man speaks. Imagine if they had heard something like the Beatitudes. How different that would be from their interpretation of the law of Moses. They were fixated on the Sabbath. They were fixated on circumcision. They had little rules that to them were all that mattered. And if these soldiers had heard the Beatitudes, no wonder they came and said, never a man spake the way this man speaks. The Pharisees then answered them, you have not also been led astray, have you? No one of the rulers of the Pharisees has believed in him, has he? Now there's a man sitting in their midst who must cringe at that statement. His name is Nicodemus. He believes with all his heart and mind, but he can't seem to do anything about it. All of this that is going around him, he's sitting with 69 other men. And so far as they say, nobody believes in this Jesus. No one of us. This ignorant crowd, they might, but not us. And if you look at his face, what do you see in Nicodemus? I see a cringing. I see a looking down. He can't afford to look around. Somebody may realize he's a believer. But he does this. Nicodemus, who came to him before being one of them, said to them, "Our law does not judge a man unless it first hears from him and knows what he's doing, does it?" And they answered him, "You're not also from Galilee, are you? Search and see that no prophet arises out of Galilee." And everyone went home. Talk about put down. Nicodemus has been put in his place. And about all he can do is join the crowd as they go home. Is that the last? Is that the end of his belief? He wanted to say something. He wanted to come out. But you look around at the city, and it's an absolute confusion. You look at the faces of the 69 men that you associate with in the Sanhedrin. And what do you do with your belief? You keep it very quiet. You keep it very quiet. Survival in your mind and heart overrule. You know, we're not done with Nicodemus. We're not done with Nicodemus and his belief. And so will you turn with me to John chapter 19. To John chapter 19. And come with me to verses 17 and 18. And I ask you, what do you think Nicodemus ought to do about these two verses? They took Jesus, therefore, he went out, bearing his own cross to the place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. There they crucified him with two other men, one on either side, and Jesus in between. What does Nicodemus do? He believes. But when he watches the scene, his belief has a terrible struggle within. But we're not done with Nicodemus. Because when I turn the page and I come to verse 38, all of a sudden, belief is no secret. Before we read from verse 38 to the end of the chapter, understand this, that the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, have Jesus on the cross from about 3 p.m. until 6 p.m. Before the sun goes down and the Sabbath begins, they must do whatever they're going to do in regards to Jesus on the cross. In other words, they must do it in broad daylight. Nicodemus came by night. But what we're going to read now comes in the light of day where belief needs to be. Read with me from verse 38. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but note the description, but a secret one for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate granted permission, so he came and took away his body. Nicodemus, who had first come to him by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloe, about 100 pounds weight. So they took the body of Jesus, and they bound it in linen wrappings with the spices, as for the burial of the custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had laid. Therefore, because the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Two men who have hidden their belief, who have struggled with whether to bring it out in the open or not. One comes by night. One is designated as a secret disciple because of fear of the Jews. And now, in the daylight before darkness comes, they act. I assume they must have discussed what they were going to do. Joseph would go to Pilate and ask for the body. One of the other writers tells us that Pilate was surprised that Jesus was dead, and he called one of the soldiers to be sure that he was dead. In other words, Pilate thought probably he was still alive and suffering on the cross. When he found that he was dead, he gave Joseph permission. What would his Sanhedrin friends think? And while he is doing that, Nicodemus goes out and purchases 100 pounds of spices for the body, for the burial. And these two men who've been secret come to that cross, and it's light of day all around them. And there surely are people still around who are watching. What are those two men doing? And they take Jesus off the cross, and they wrap him in the garments, in the linen wrappings, with the incense, and they place him in the tomb. And it is the finest hour that Joseph and Nicodemus would ever know in their lives. There is an explanation for this. They first do it in the light of day. And that's where our belief must be, in the light of day. We can't hide it away in the darkness. We can't profess it and let it be hidden. But it comes in the light of day. And the answer to what we do with belief is let it be seen. Let it be seen. Do you think that these two men cared if somebody ran off to the rest of the Sanhedrin and said, "Do you know what Joseph and Nicodemus are doing? You've got to come and stop them." But nobody stopped them. And that's the power of belief, when others see it. But there's another lesson here, a lesson for us. And it comes in two verses, verse 40 and verse 42. And it's no longer one man, Joseph, and one man, Nicodemus. They. In that little word, I see us. They are together. And what they were afraid to do alone, they were doing together. They is a big, big word. They took strength from each other. They would never have acted like this alone, fearful. But now they're together. And I can imagine, if you go about 50 days from now, these two men stand in the crowd on the second chapter of Acts. And when the chapter is done, they are surrounded by 3,000 who gladly received the word, were baptized, and were together. Can you imagine two men so glad to find each other? But now what do they think, surrounded not by unbelievers, not by skeptics, but by believers who let it shine? Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Joseph and Nicodemus show us how powerful that is to let your light shine. Let our belief shine out. Some will see it and be impressed. Some may even take belief on themselves. But we've done our part when we let it shine. The second chapter of Acts is a good chapter to put Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea right in the middle of the crowd. And they were together, that crowd, and these two believers. And so you and I must understand the power of our belief. If we go back, we realize Nicodemus used a word for no, or John did. I mean, he absolutely believed. No question, no doubts, he believed. And in that belief, ultimately, belief won out at the foot of the cross as they took Jesus down together. And later with 3,000, later after that, 5,000. And belief has grown and lived for 2,000 years in our hearts and in our minds. And Jesus knows what's in our hearts and in our minds. Jesus knows the strength of our belief. And for that, we can count our blessings. If you're here there and there's some way that we can help you, you want to obey the gospel, you recognize that ultimately Nicodemus and Joseph found their joy in obeying the gospel of Christ. If there's some other way that we can help you, Kevin will be at the front, and he will gladly help you in any way that we can as a congregation. Let's stand.